In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On the sixth Sunday of Easter, the Rotation Day Sunday, is Mother's Day. I use as a sermon text the Gospel passage from the famous 14th chapter of John. One of the most beautiful passages of the Bible and the most popular, along with the 23rd Psalm, the words from it to be read at the time of last rite and funeral. It is a chapter of singular grace, charm, challenge, and eternal comfort. So I'd like to begin today's sermon by sharing a very personal story about my mother on this Mother's Day that has everything to do with the 14th chapter of John. My mother graduated high school in 1939, and she always enjoyed doing what my generation is always doing today, that is telling the next generation how difficult they had it, and how strict they had it, how much more hard it was. When she graduated in 1939 and attended a junior college for women, Peace College in Raleigh, North Carolina, still there now, 4-year college for co-ed. But then it was a very strict college. She talked about how you would receive demerits for any infraction on the dress code. And there was a dean of women who was harsh. And you would only have your co-ed visit to sit in the parlor, and you could not touch or hold hands under the eyes of the dean of women. And she said, we have to learn the art of conversation, because it's all you could do. And then the dean of women had another edict. Before a woman would graduate, she would have to, no exception, memorize in its entirety, in King James Version, the 14th chapter of John. And so with greatest peace, the students, the women, memorized the 14th chapter of John before they graduated, but they recited, each one, before the dean of women, the chaplain, and the president of the college. She graduated, World War II happened, went to another college, a career, a divorce, a marriage, divorce, another marriage. And by her own admission, she said, as the decades passed, her faith became more and more distant from the center of her life. There was church attendance, to be sure, given the culture at that time. But her faith became nominal. And then years passed, and late in her life, the child was born, me. And when I was about 12 or 13, I remember my mother and my sister coming down the stairs, all dressed to attend a mother-daughter reception sometime. I thought how beautiful they were. You always think your mother and your sister are beautiful. And I went to the window, and I watched them get into the car. And little did I know, it would be the last I would see them in that condition for a very long time. So barreling down the road at 50 miles an hour, a car pulled in front of him. It was actually a police car, but he was blinded by the sun and didn't see the car coming. This horrific crash. In 1972, though, if you remember, we had weight belts, but the shoulder belt was optional, just on the ceiling of the car. And so my sister was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries, but my mother was almost killed. Because of the steering wheel and the dashboard, she received horrific damage to the face and to the brain and to the head. Not knowing that whether she would live or die, but temporarily, also, she was blinded and deafened because of the edema that swelled. So while in the hospital, she could feel the hand of her 12-year-old son and the hand of the Episcopal priest, who was so faithful to come. She could hear no words of comfort, she could see no faces for comfort. All not knowing whether she would live or die in intensive care. Only her thoughts with her. And then suddenly, from the recesses of her mind, came the words of the 14th chapter of John. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I chose to prepare a place for you, that where I am, that you may be also. That was last passage, and from today's passage. I now pray you, the Father, to send another comfort, another advocate for you. The world will see me yet a little longer, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. Those are the words with her. Eventually, she regained her health and her sight and her hearing, and never again was her faith far from the center of her life. And she always credited the 14th chapter of John. And when I buried her, I placed the Bible from Peace College in her hand, and I placed a ribbon on the 14th chapter of John. So maybe I ask you, maybe before the day's over, and on this Mother's Day, not trying to memorize, but perhaps we to pray the 14th chapter of John in its entirety. And what the passage we have today from 14th chapter of John specifically talks about the Holy Spirit. This is a teaser for the feast of Pentecost in 2 weeks, the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I love John's version of Holy Spirit. Only in the Gospel of John does the Greek use the word Holy Spirit, paraclete. King James Version translates it comforter. The Revised Standard translates it counselor, other advocate. But actually, paraclete means one who walks beside you. It's a beautiful image of the Holy Spirit. I remember that my grandmother had a beautiful phrase. Elegant, I think, a soft phrase. She would often say, oh, is so-and-so keeping company with so-and-so? It wasn't like they were saying. Or they friends. Often, I'd say, grandmother, what are you doing? She said, I'm keeping company with my thoughts and my memories. And what we're promised at baptism is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That gift of the Holy Spirit will keep company with us. Whether we're faithful or faithless, whether in good times or bad times, in tragedy and joy. Never believe it. That is a promise of baptism. Wow. Think about that. And then what is the job of the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? And this is a mystery because the Holy Spirit sometimes eludes us, does it not? But according to St. Paul and the scriptures, the job of the Holy Spirit is to woo us and to guide us. Sometimes in ways we never know, ways that are so intimate, as close as the breath we breathe. I love in the Gospels when Jesus bestowed the Holy Spirit on the disciples because they breathed on them the Holy Spirit. It's as close to us as our breath. And it wounds us. I'm convinced it was the Holy Spirit that brought the words of the 14th chapter of John to the consciousness of my mother in the hospital. It is the Holy Spirit in the words of St. Paul that combines spiritual thought to go with spiritual words. I remember one time I had a problem. I had to make a decision. I didn't know if it was right or wrong, or yes or no. And I went to a priest friend of mine. And what did I do? How do I say? He put a hand finally on my hand. He said, John David, stop. It's not a yes or no right now. Just pray the Holy Spirit. And like the old Polaroid snapshot, in time, the Holy Spirit will woo and guide. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I've never forgotten. I remember once baptizing an adult, and I just as a pleasantry a couple weeks at the baptism. I said, do you feel any different? And she said, yes, I do. I feel very different because I feel the Holy Spirit. Before baptism, I never had a hunger for the Bible, and now I have a hunger to read the Bible. I don't understand it all. But I believe, she said, that this is the Holy Spirit in my life drawing me to the words of the Bible. What a beautiful thing to say. So I ask you today, because of the 14th chapter of John, anticipate the Pentecost. How have you perceived the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you felt the Holy Spirit? Has the Holy Spirit guided you? Perhaps when we find ourselves bewildered by decisions, the problems, and this world is not easy, may we pray the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is talked about and promised. And our Lord's farewell words. Remember, these were some of his last words before he left. And how precious and what weight he placed on the last words. The last words of our Lord. In the 14th chapter of John. Amen.